Welcome to the Nehemiah Entrepreneurship Community Podcast. I'm your host, Patrice Sagay. I'm here in studio with me today with Mr. Mark Brown. Mark Brown is a biblical entrepreneur alumni, certified biblical entrepreneur trainer, also an elder with the New Life Seventh-day Adventist Church over in, is it in Maryland or D.C.? It seems
Maryland. It's in Gaithersburg, Maryland.
Gaithersburg, Maryland. Yeah. Mark is also a retired government employee and entrepreneur, married to the beautiful
Karen
Brown. Mark, yes. Welcome to the podcast.
Patrice, it's great to be here. Good to see you again.
Good to see you, brother. First of all, thank you so much for the work you do. We're going to be talking about the use of biblical entrepreneurship for church small group study, which Mark has been doing. I want to talk about that, but let's go a little bit back. You and I come a long way together. So I graduated from Tacoma Academy High School, and which is an Adventist school. And Mark, you are from the Adventist community and elder at the church. And so you did not go to St. Adventist. To Tacoma Academy. Or did you back in the day?
I did not, but did both not. Of my children graduated from there.
So I guess you're a family of alumni. And so I'm an alumni of Tacoma Academy. And I just want to say this. I'm not sure how it was when your children went through. I tell you, when it comes to private education, rooted around the foundation of scripture and the importance of, now, unfortunately, when I was there, I was not exactly a biblical scholar, right? I was a rebel without a cause. However, having said that, that's where I really received my training, the importance of ethics and biblical worldview and so forth. It was at Tacoma Academy. So how was it when your children went?
It was just as impactful in their lives. My son, he was an athlete, a basketball player. He had been drawn to go to different schools to sort of pursue his athletic abilities. And Tacoma Academy provided him a great outlet, both for his athletics and for his relationship with the Lord. So for a parent, that was the best of both worlds. And my daughter, the same. She's an artist type. She's now an interior designer. But Tacoma Academy gave her that room to find herself. And now they both are doing well and are still serving the Lord. So I'm grateful for that.
Amen. Amen. As you talk about athletic, I started playing basketball my sophomore year. And then I played from my sophomore to senior year. And a senior year, I was captain of our basketball team, along with a young good friend of mine, Jan McGuiver. MacGyver. I think Jan is today, he's a doctor.
Wow.
So shout out to those of you from Tacoma Academy who are watching us this morning, Jan, Naeem, Troy, all the Tacoma Academy gang. So it's you know, it's very few people have an understanding, Mark, of the power of the Adventist community. And it was in that community, and I had no clue that I was learning this, that I first learned the importance of community entrepreneurship in Christ.
Yes.
So before we get into our topic today, let's talk a bit about that. You are an Adventist. You are an elder in the Adventist Church. Let's talk about the heritage of the Adventist Church when it comes to entrepreneurship and community from a Christian perspective.
Yeah, the historically, the Adventist Church has almost catered to or has drawn the entrepreneurial spirit. They when you look at the history of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, you'll find that many of its core founders were young people. You know, in their 20s and 30s, but they were all entrepreneurs. And right now, I'm the president of an organization called Adventist Layman's Services and Industries, ASI. And ASI is the organization in the church for entrepreneurs and independent ministry leaders. And so the church has historically always had a place for those who had that entrepreneurial spirit, because it discovered that entrepreneurs make the best evangelists. There's something about that spirit that is inherent in those who seek the Lord's guidance, who find a way to get things done. And the church was founded and grew as a result of individuals who had that spirit, and that still exists today.
And one of the things also, if you look at the history of Adventist Church, is in a sense, because the Adventist Church took a stand against the predominant move of Sunday as a day of worship, as a seventh day, which actually Saturday is the seventh day. Mm-hmm. And so as a result, it was kind of, it wasn't going along with the popular Protestant movement. So in a sense, the church as a community had to be self-sufficient because you were kind of breaking against the norm. And so for a community that's trying to be innovative, trying to be distinct, entrepreneurship also becomes kind of a tool to be able to ensure they have an economic engine, to ensure that they're able to survive outside of the majority community. Wouldn't that be the case?
That is absolutely true. And you'll find today, as I move about both within the ASI organization and I serve on, you know, several executive committees in the church, you will find that the individuals who are the leaders are those who are making things go forward as a church, as I say, are entrepreneurs. Wow. And so it is the church seems to be rooted and grounded in those who find their calling, their independence, their identity in serving the Lord in a unique way. And the church has grown.
That's what the contribution that the Adventist community have brought forth in American culture and in the world in terms of business, in terms of industries. So when it comes to health and wellness, that's a major area that the Adventist Church, I mean, some of the best hospitals in the country, in the United States, are Adventist hospitals. Would you agree with that?
That's right. Adventist healthcare systems is nationwide, and you'll find major hospitals under that umbrella.
And that started as a local church healthcare unit, and it grew into a multi-billion dollar kind of company. And then, by the way, is it still owned by the church? Is it publicly traded? Is it a private entity? What does the structure look like?
It's still a part of the church, but it is its own entity. It has its own corporate structure, but you know, it still is aligned with the denomination.
And then also in terms of health and wellness, I mean, you guys, when you know, vegetarianism and you know, eating a certain way was not popular, not common. Medicine, that's another area that the Adventist Church has really pioneered. I mean, wouldn't that be the case in terms of some of the great food that is non-meat, tasty and so forth? Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. The health ministries form a arm of the church since its inception has always been a major focus, and it has led to corporations. Loma Linda, which many people are familiar with, they have a brand, a food brand under their name, and then there are many others like that. So the health and wellness arm of the church has always been a vital and vibrant part of the church since its beginnings in the late 1800s.
Let's talk about education. I mean, some of the great schools in the United States, from private, from you know, high school, middle school, all the way to colleges are Adventist universities. I mean, you guys, it's interesting. The Catholic Church is known around the world for what they've done in education. Well, you guys have kind of, if you look at it as a competition, I mean, the Adventist Church has kind of taken a slice out of that pie. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. Our educational arm has been in place, and actually the founders of the denomination saw education as a major part of the denominational structure. So we have from, you know, from pre-K all the way through medical schools. You know, getting advanced degrees in university. So this part of the church structure has always been, you know, a vital part of the denomination.
So education, health and wellness, medicine, the contribution that the Adventist Church now has become mainstream. I mean, these are not like small little church base. These are legitimate corporations that are setting standard. I mean, even bookstores. I mean, in before Amazon, you guys had one of the best and most successful bookstores in the DC metropolitan area.
Yeah, absolutely. The publishing work, when you look at the history of the church, all the things you're mentioning, you will find that they were foundational. And the publishing arm of the church has been taken very serious to not only in creating books for the denomination, but around the world, we've established publishing houses. And of course, with the change of things going digital and all of that, we've had to change with the times. So that whole arm of the denomination has also progressed in a significant way.
So how well, again, you're not representing our denomination today. You're just a member in another local church. But let's, for instance, based on your own perception, how well has the church adjusted to the digital age? Because some organizations that did really well pre-internet have struggled to pivot in this digital space. How would you rate the Adventist Church on that?
I think I'll use as a point of reference this COVID environment. I have been extremely impressed at how the church has given room or space for young people to step up and to initiate whole new ministry capabilities and platforms. Even my church, our pastor, who is rather young, has partnered with another pastor, and now our two churches minister together.
Wow.
The other church is down in Southern Virginia. We're here in Maryland, but we've combined our forces, and now we're seeing our ability to reach individuals. We worship together, you know, on Saturday mornings. We do our ministries together, this life groups, which I'll speak about later. But I've also seen different ministry functions going on online that we had never considered before. And so this COVID environment has really created a new platform for the church.
So let's talk about this heritage of entrepreneurship. How do you think the new generation of Adventists are doing with embracing or carrying on this legacy of entrepreneurship? Do you think, is that growing? Is that standing still? Is that decreasing? That heritage of entrepreneurship, do you think is being cultivated within the Adventist Church?
It is definitely being cultivated. I am so impressed. The ASI organization that I mentioned earlier, they have something similar. And I'll talk about it, Patrice. It is uncanny how these two organizations almost mirror each other. I believe the call of God to have biblical entrepreneurs is really being spread throughout the body of Christ. And so we're seeing young people who are very entrepreneurial. I've had individuals who have supported me who are doctors, some who are technologists, young people who are stepping out, and they seem to be even more accepting of risk and to step out and do things that my generation wouldn't have done. So it's actually, I see it increasing in the church right now.
That is incredible. I think about somebody like Dr. Deshay, who was an entrepreneur, who was a mentor of mine at one point, you know, when I was active in the church. I mean, just, you know, people like that, doctors who went beyond medicine, went into starting other businesses and so forth. They were of that other generation, and it's good to see that's continuing. Let's talk about, and then we're going to get into what we can learn from the Adventist Church, and we get into the small group. Let's talk about the Adventist Church and evangelism in terms of its ability to procreate in terms of spiritually. One of the challenges that as I was trying to find myself at that moment, my perception was the Adventist Church was struggling in trying to capture this new energy from a biblical perspective, just pure evangelism and discipleship. But it looks like it's made much progress since my days.
Yes.
Could you speak to that? Because obviously entrepreneurship is important, but foundationally, is the biblical ethos drives and fuel the work of the church. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, we can build all these businesses, but if we're not discipling and if we're not evangelizing, then eventually the Adventist Church could become a major business, but lose its strength and the grace that God has given it. Speak to that a little bit for us.
Yeah, you know, evangelism has had a, in the Adventist Church has always had a worldwide focus. We, in our schools, we have a very deliberate aspect of training missionaries or educating our young people with a missionary mindset. So from if you're an accountant, if you're a doctor, if you're a nurse or whatever your role is, there's always this interjection of the missionary mindset. And so many of our young people do missionary visits as a part of their college experience. And the other exciting thing that I'm seeing now, you know, I'm sort of, and it's funny to say that, but I'm considered one of the old heads now, you know, in my church. But yet, because of my affiliation with Nehemiah and with other organizations, I'm able to inspire young people to be involved in what they now have a formal focus called digital evangelism.
Wow.
In which we are now using the internet and other means to reach out to individuals both locally and around the world. And so we've started a digital evangelism ministry in our church. And we have people from late teens to in their 60s that are involved in this. And so Adventist World Radio actually has started a digital evangelism arm in which, you know, they broadcast around the world and people write in for prayer requests and, you know, biblical advice. And we can sign up our members to be a digital disciple. Oh, and they wow. can help answer as people from as far away, you know, on the other side of the world or people down the street, and they can sign up as a digital disciple and participate in responding to people who are writing in to hear about Jesus. So that it's really been exciting.
That's incredible. That is incredible. I'm talking with Mark Brown, who is an elder with the local Adventist church in Gettysburg, Maryland. And, the church specifically is called, and by the way, if you want to visit that church, it's called New Life SDA Church out in Gettysburg, Maryland. If you want to know more about New Life Church, you can visit them at nlsda.org, nlsda.org. If a church has a guy like Mark Brown, it must be a good church. So if you're looking for a church home, connect with that church and plug in. They have a live group that we're going to talk about in a minute, a small group on biblical entrepreneurship. But Mark, what can the body of Christ learn from the Adventist Church? When you think about the Catholic Church have done a good job with some of the business infrastructure, the Adventists have done a good job, but it seems like, you know, there's some Baptists that have done a good job, but it seems like, you know, across the spectrum, what the Adventist has done, it's just others have not been able to model. So what can we learn from the Adventist Church? What are some key things as others who are watching, who are part of other branches of the body of Christ, they say, what's been the key to the success of the Adventist Church when it comes to entrepreneurship and what it's done in terms of schools, education, health and wellness, publishing, and so forth?
I would say the primary appeal to the Adventist Church is biblical Christianity as a lifestyle. Mm. I mean, we really believe in living this thing. It's not something that, you know, you can only do on the weekend or you can only tolerate for, you know, 1 or 2 days a week. I mean, it is 24/7 experience with Jesus. Mm. How you take care of your body, how you establish your home, how you work in the community, how you reach out to your neighbor, you know, all aspects of life are addressed as being a part of this denomination. And what I have really grown to appreciate and why I love being involved with Nehemiah is that we now are getting a more full concept of the family of God. And the Adventist Church is able now to you know, work with and associate with and build relationship with individuals of other denominations, because we recognize we have the same Father. Mm-hmm. You know, our elder brother is the same, the same energy, the engine in all of us is the Holy Spirit. And so, you know, what I am celebrating and enjoying so much now is this whole family of God aspect. And as we continue to serve God together, we should be drawing closer together as Jesus prayed in John 17.
Ah, amen. Well, good to hear that. And I'm glad you hear that, because I think the perception of many is that the Adventist Church is kind of very self-sufficient and doesn't reach out much and so forth. So guys, here's Mark Brown, one of the elders at a local church in Gettysburg, saying that's what you thought, think differently, because they see themselves one part of the body. Before, so I first became saved. I was an Adventist through my husband at the time. Very disciplined church, Mount Sinai here in Orlando.
Okay.
Good to hear. Again, friends, if you have comments to make or question, please post it. I will share that with Mark. So Mark, we've been partners for a while with you, and whether it's your church or the Adventist Service of Laymen,
yes, you're
a pioneer and want to see this kind of thing happen. Let's talk about your own personal journey. You worked for government for a period, and then went into retirement to entrepreneurship, and kind of talk about Mark Brown. Who's Mark Brown, and what makes him tick?
I was a federal employee for 33 years, and during that, God really showed me, you know, what the sphere of my impact and influence could be. And I reached a particular point where it was a decision that had to be made. I could, you know, move into the senior executive series and sort of settle in for the long haul. But God really impressed upon me that there was something more he wanted me to do. So, you know, I retired at a fairly young age, 56 years old, and embraced myself with entrepreneurship. And in God's perfect timing, a friend of ours, Jerome and Kelly Leonard,
right,
they were the ones who I had befriended a few years before I retired, and they introduced me to Nehemiah. And it was perfect timing. My intentions were, I was in IT and cybersecurity. I was going to come out and get a consulting firm and still do the same thing. But God had a different plan for me, and I still don't understand it today. But I started a granola company, Three Brown Boys Granola. And I have asked God many times, why granola? Number one, because I love granola. But we started that business, and God blessed it. He gave us recipe, logo, you know, everything we needed. And we got started, and at its peak, we're in about four different stores. But then things began to tail off as I began to try and expand. And sort of just to encapsulate that period, it was just before COVID hit. When COVID hit, we went back to the lab, to the kitchen. We now have a reduced sugar version, and we're now building back up the business. But what I also learned is that it wasn't about granola. There were some lessons God wanted to teach me about me and about how I impacted the community. And Nehemiah taught me through granola to not only impact the community in a greater means, but to prepare me for the latest venture. I think I shared with you, Patrice, that my family is now engaged in developing some land down in Virginia.
Wow, that's incredible. Yeah. So, and also, but Mark, you are also a donor record. You know, you and your wife both giving to help sponsor other entrepreneurs around the world. And we thank you for that.
Absolutely.
But then you decided to take on this charge in your local church to start a small group around biblical entrepreneurship. Tell us about that and what kind of impact that has had so far.
So I mentioned that our church, New Life in Gaithersburg, partnered with New Life in Hampton, Virginia. And they have been led by God to start this life group, Living in Faith Every Day. That's what life, the LIFE, stands for. And the premise is to lead individuals to enjoy spiritual growth, you know, by experiencing life with others on common topics. And what I found out is that there were several individuals who, because of the pandemic, started businesses, some out of necessity because they were let go, others because they saw that by being quarantined and staying at home, they began to realize more what they could do individually. And so when I talked to a few individuals and heard that they were starting businesses, I was impressed to share what I had been blessed with through the Nehemiah ministry. And so, you know, we got under the Life Group umbrella, started this group, and at its peak, I had 24 people that had registered. And the experience was outstanding. We had some individuals who were seasoned business people. We had one individual who had a trucking company that had been in existence and was thriving. And we had others who were still in the concept idea and everything in between. Wow. And we found that through walking through the Biblical Entrepreneurship Essentials book, that we appealed to all that were involved.
Wow.
And it was a wonderful experience.
That's incredible. By the way, the book on Your Century is my latest book. Team, put a link out there. If you want to get a copy of that, you can go ahead and do that. And so you use the Essentials book. So what were some of the aha's or takeaways as you walk them through this?
You know, Patrice, in my association with Nehemiah, and as I went through the training, one thing that I was became starkly aware of is the mindset that many Christians have, that if they think they're in business, they have to do it the world's way. And I think the biggest aha for many of them was just how much the Bible presented to them to give them guidance in how to be an entrepreneur. And I think that it's you know, I call it a forehead smacking experience. Many of them, every Sunday we meet on Sunday afternoons, every meeting, somebody slapping their head going, wow. You know, they didn't know that the Bible gave such detailed experience about being an entrepreneur and the biblical examples of entrepreneurs in scripture. And so it's been just a continuous revelation for many of the participants.
Awesome. And so for those who are listening or watching, so you guys meet once a week.
Yes.
And you go through a particular topic. How long are the meetings?
An hour and a half.
Hour and a half.
We meet for an hour and a half.
Get to connect with other entrepreneurs, get to facilitate and so forth. So do they have to commit for a year, for some weeks, or they can just come out? How does that, what's the commitment level?
Yeah, the Life Group format is a semester format. And so each semester is 12 weeks. So we meet for 12 weeks each Sunday. For that hour and a half, and we had to sort of compress it because there were some weeks we had to do two chapters to fit within the semester, but we asked for that 12-week commitment for each semester.
So if you're interested, this is, by the way, a great way to get some free education and instruction and coaching. You know, I'm assuming the Life Group is free, right?
Yes.
Okay, so free Life Group.
They have to purchase your book, of course.
They have to purchase the book. So if you want to be a part of the Life Group, just Brother Mark have agreed that we can provide his email address. So team, put email just there. You can reach out to him so that you can connect with this particular Life Group. What a great way to connect with other entrepreneurs, to be guided and get instructions and some kind of guidance. And I love the diversity of it. And because it's online, they can come from anywhere.
Anywhere.
Oh, wow.
If I could say also some of the other benefits, we were able to form accountability partners in the group.
Wow.
And so we really fostered that. We formed an online prayer journal for individuals to submit, you know, hey, I need prayer. I'm going for a contract this week, or I'm developing another part of my business. And so we maintain an ongoing prayer list and a praise report list.
Wow.
So that we could go and refer back to it and say, hey, remember Sister So-and-so? She prayed for this and God did this. And so it's sort of, we called it our Ebenezer, you know, raising an Ebenezer so that when those who came by, we could point to it and say, this is what God did. And so that became a very powerful part of our group.
The power community, you know, as they do studies for entrepreneurs, and there are two keys to their success. One is the fact that they persevere, right? Because there's no real formula. You gotta go at it blessed through. You learned that as you would been building your own business.
Yes.
Things aren't always the same, so you gotta navigate that perseverance. But the other thing is community. The ability to be plugged into a community of folks that encourages you, walk with you,
yes.
Sounding board, just saying it's gonna be okay. go for, give you a pat on the back, yes, just so you can complain to, cry to, laugh with, share good things with. Because oftentimes the German entrepreneurship can be a very lonely journey.
Yes.
And having that in the context of prayer and the word of God and people of God is just incredible. So if somebody's watching or listening, they want to be a part, do they have to wait till the next cycle? They plug in at any time? How does that work?
Yeah, we're actually at the end. Next week is our final week for this semester, this coming Sunday. And so the next semester, actually, I haven't been given a date yet, but they normally take a month, month and a half break in between and before the next semester starts. So, if you contact me, I can put you on my contact list. And as the new semester is announced, I can send that information to you.
That is incredible. Again, if you want to plug into a life group where you can walk along with other entrepreneurs to pray together, learn together, and worship together, connect with Brother Mark Brown. And if you want to know more about this local church that is embracing of entrepreneurs and entrepreneurship, you want to go to their website, nlsdac.org. is the New Life SDA Church in Gettysburg, Maryland, of course. Now, by the way, as churches are opening up, are you guys going to maintain your digital presence, or are you going to totally go live? Tell us a bit about that.
We have not gone back live yet, but we come to understand that some individuals have really fell in love with this digital format. So we will be doing both when we go back. Some will be in person, but we'll maintain that digital presence as well.
Awesome. So plug in with them, and you don't have to be in the DC metro area. You can plug in digitally. I'm going to have Brother Brown give us some words of encouragement. Before we do, as we wrap up, I do want to speak to you about ways you can plug in. So, of course, if you want to know more about the Brother Brown's church, New Life Center Adventist Church, go to nlsda.org, nlsda.org. If you want to know more about the life group and you want to plug into the next cycle, email Brother Brown directly, or if you email our office, we'll connect you right to him. We have other life group, by the way, that you can be a part of. So we'll let you know, and you can reach out to him. If that doesn't work for you, he'll let you know. He plugged it out to us, and we can connect with another group that may work out for you. If you want to know more about the Nehemiah Project, how we can come alongside you and provide you with training, plug you into different courses that can help you with your entrepreneurship journey. We can provide you with coaching, come alongside you and coach you as you grow your business, or access to capital. So that if you need capital to start or to launch your business, visit our website, nehemiahecommunity.org, nehemiahecommunity.com. There you can learn about training programs, biblical entrepreneurship, identity and destiny, serve with love. You can learn about our coaching program, whether it's group coaching, individual coaching, or diamond coaching. You can also learn about access to capital, where we can come alongside you and provide you financing to grow your business. Also, if you want to know about how to become a member of this growing community, we have over 1,000 members around the world from various parts of the world, from Asia, North America, Africa, Europe, or Latin America, who are all walking together as a community in growing kingdom companies. You can inquire there as well and join the community so that together we can transform the world.
Amen.
Brother Brown, as you know, by the way, before I ask you this advice question for entrepreneurs, so this word encouragement, as you walk with these entrepreneurs during and post-COVID, or not post-COVID, not post yet, you know, in this season of COVID, what was the common denominator of challenge they were facing? What was the common thread that you kind of, that came up as you were walking with them?
I think it was believing God's vision for them in spite of what was happening around them. Mm-hmm. COVID introduced this perception that everything was going wrong, or that there was some tragedy that was awaiting everyone. But what we were able to identify was the movement of God on and for his people in the midst of this.
Wow.
And I think to a person, regardless of where they were, as we went through the material, they began to embrace the fact that God was still for them and that they could really look forward to him still doing magnificent things for them. As we, you know, as we studied Joseph and looked at the examples, the biblical examples, individuals began to embrace this personally.
Wow. I tell you, I would want to join the life just to listen to you all day long, Brother Brown. You got that. He's got that voice of God that just helps you just get it a little better. So what word of encouragement would you give entrepreneurs from around the world as they're struggling with that very thing? What would you give them today as we wrap up?
You know, I'm going to share a brief story. A friend of mine who was a Vietnam vet told me a story about a traumatic period in Vietnam where he had experienced such significant trauma that one morning he woke up and he was paralyzed. He couldn't move. And his soldiers were calling him and he couldn't budge until someone came and touched his boot and it woke him up. And when he told me that story, John Green is in Philadelphia, a good friend of mine. It helped me to understand that there are many of God's people who are paralyzed by life trauma, by experiences, by fear and doubt, and God has a calling on them. And my word that my friend gave me and that I want to pass on to them, that right now God is shaking our boots. He's waking us people up out of this stupor. There's this calling that's been nagging you, and you know you want to answer it, but something has been holding you back. And I just want to encourage you, man, everyone out there, please allow the Spirit of God to push you into this space, because there is nothing like it. It's like being on an adventure with God. And this is what is waiting many of you. And I just want to encourage you. And I am the poster child of being fearful to step into that space. But God has been so loving and so persistent that he wanted me to experience this journey. And he allowed me to meet the Nehemiah family to help facilitate that. And so I just want to encourage everyone who has that dream. Let God be God in your life.
Wow. Good word. Sincerely, good word. I don't know about you, but that touched me to my soul. The word, let God be God. You know, as Brother Brown just said, many of you guys may be facing everything. Listen to these words. Do what he's asked you to do. Plug in if you need help. Connect with him. Connect with us. Plug in, because you don't have to do it alone if you feel like you are alone. You follow me? Not only encouraging you, but we are also giving you resources to walk along with you to help you achieve that. Wow.
If I could say one final thing, and this just happened at our last meeting on Sunday. What we realized, we had a person who was just beginning a business. And in our talking to them, they said they felt like their seed was being protected. Mm. And what I found, Patrice, is that this environment, that what Nehemiah has created in the material that God has led you to provide, that individuals can find a safe place with people who love the Lord and who love them, that they could bring their seed form ideas and it will be watered and nurtured and it can sprout and grow in an environment like a greenhouse, like an incubator. And that whole incubator idea took hold at our last meeting, and what I will carry until the next session.
Wow. I love it. That imagery.
Yeah.
The seed is being protected.
Yes.
What it made me think about is the enemy who comes to steal the seed.
Amen.
But the seed is being protected. Hey, I hope you enjoyed our podcast. Brother Brown, you're going to have to come back. Do you mind doing that from time to time? Just come back, and because you not only kind of gave us an update how the life group is going, help others of us understand the power of life groups, what you've also done is encouraged us.
Amen.
You encouraged us with the experience that you've had with these life groups so that we felt like we were being part of the life group as well. Amen. We ourselves are walking our own journey. Say hi to First Lady Curran for us.
And
thank you for allowing us to use you in this service as you do what God has called you to do. And thank God for your church for allowing you to do this. Thank you so much.
Amen. I want to give a shout out to Dr. Troy Levy, young man, but he is a servant of the Lord. So bless Dr. Levy for helping, giving us room to do this.
Well, Doc, you're a pioneer. Thank you so much for that. Well, let me pray for you guys before we leave. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord enable you to steward those talents, those gifts that are under your care. And as Brother Brown just pointed out, to steward them in such a way that you not only overcome fear, doubt, and let God be God in your life.
Amen.
So that one day you can hear those wonderful words. Well done.
Amen.
Good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Guess what? He'll now make you ruler over much.
God bless you. Yes, he will. Amen.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you, man.